TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Tuesday edition of Mackie and Judd, which might turn into a quarantine Wednesday edition and maybe even a quarantine Thursday, Friday edition. We're not sure, but we'll explain it all to you. We're going to talk about Judd's Saturday couch ventures, where he scouted future Vikings quarterbacks and other things. But a quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company, because Federated has been helping business owners for over 100 years in Owatonna, Minnesota. Based in Owatonna, they are one of us. And not only have they been helping business owners, they've also been helping hospital workers and essential workers throughout this pandemic period. They've actually donated 18,000 N95 respirator masks to Owatonna Hospital and several outdoor blue lights for the Owatonna Clinic building. Federated Insurance employees are donating their time, talent, and financial resources to help our communities. And team members have produced masks and face shields for healthcare workers and first responders and caregivers over the last several months. So that is the community first spirit you get with Federated. And they also put your business first as well. Federatedinsurance.com to find out more. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right, Declan, who'd you get it from? Who'd you get it from? Declan's got the vid.
I do.
Declan's the first one to fall victim to the vid on the show here, at least that we know of. I mean, it's possible Judd and I have already had it, but we don't know.
Yeah. So I on Sunday, I noticed that I didn't do any drinking on Saturday, and you guys know how much that I love to drink on the weekends. So I took it easy on Saturday. I watched the Gopher game. Gopher game didn't even make me drink. I thought it was great. So I went home, got in bed at a normal hour, and I woke up on Sunday with a pretty kicking hangover or a headache, not hangover, headache and fever. And I noticed that I had a little bit of tightness in my chest. So I figured, all right, you know what? I'm going to go just get a COVID test. I knew someone of 2 weeks ago who tested positive that I was near. So I figured, all right, it's been almost 2 weeks, and I know symptoms can take like 2 to 14 days to kick in. But I figured through the first 10, 11 days, I didn't feel anything. So I thought I was all right. But then on Sunday, I wasn't feeling great. So I went and did the new saliva-based test, which I don't have to get my brain swabbed, which was nice. So I just spit in a valve 5-6 times at this place in Brooklyn Park. And I got my results back last night on Monday evening, and it turns out I tested positive for COVID. So 2 week quarantine here at the Casa de Declan Goff here in the North Loop, and it's going to be a fun time being alone in isolation for the next 2 weeks. And hopefully you two dudes are negative, so we don't have to be completely quarantined for 2 weeks here.
Really excited for the saliva. Judd and I are going to go do saliva tests, not together.
We know
each other pretty well.
Yeah, right now. Separately.
Well, I was telling Judd pre-show, so the way I have it set up, it's like a 6-foot table. It's an old Office Max building, so it's a humongous socially distanced space building.
I'll get some staplers, too.
Yeah, you can get some staplers.
Reporter's notebooks, always great.
Yeah. Paper clips, but the tables are 6 feet apart, so there's actually someone at the other end of the table while you're doing it. So you never know. Maybe if you two wound up together, you could be just looking each other's eyes.
Wait, what?
And fitting into a valve. You are socially, you're at a table. So you walk in and there's like 26 tables set up. They're about 10 feet. They're like 10 feet long tables. And one person's on one end and one person's on the other end. And you follow so these directions.
You're just sitting across from somebody else, spitting into some sort of a
valve.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to 2020, gentlemen.
It sounds
very on brand to me.
It's either that or a brain swab. So you got options. Yeah. So I prefer the spit. So
go spit and then vote. It's the perfect combination, 2020.
Amazing. So if you're wondering, so we're not going to have at least for the next couple days, and then we'll sort of see what happens. But we're all doing the show from home, and we're not going to have some of the normal bells and whistles and button bars that you have grown accustomed to. So any type of reckless speculation that happens while we're doing the quarantine version of Mackie and Judd, we're just going to have to use our imaginations, or we can bring Manny Hill in just for the voiceover. But so Declan has the vid, and Judd and I are trying to avoid the vid, but technology, we can still do the show from home. It's great. And Judd, so I unplugged for a few days, got some hiking in. I did watch a little bit of college football on Saturday, but it sounds like you went on a specific mission on Saturday that we should tell the audience about.
I went on a mission so here's my goal now, because there's two ways to look at the Vikings being a terrible team, right? The first is I'm just going to check out, but that's no fun. Like, you don't want to check out, right? So what you want to do now is set up football, not life, football goals for how you can enjoy your weekend while the Vikings stink, but it still involves a ton of football. Number one, I found Saturday, scouting quarterbacks. This is great. Like, there is now a reason to watch and to be really engaged in college football games. I've seen Lawrence play a couple times for Clemson, but on Saturday, specifically with the Big Ten starting, it was Justin Fields day. So I watched basically, and I'm not joking, the entire Nebraska-Ohio State game, and I watched Fields play very, very closely, and it was great. When's the last time in this town, and I'm honestly, no BS, being serious here. When's the last time in this town, Phil Mackey, that we could sit down and really closely watch and scout not just college football, but top players in anticipation that at least there is an off chance that the Minnesota Vikings could be in line to draft a top quarterback? It was fun.
It's been almost 10 years. I do remember watching Stanford games in like 2010, 2011 a little, because you could see the wheels coming off. Brett Favre was old in 2010. And then 2011, they tried the Donovan McNabb thing. But even then, like, correct me if I'm wrong, they had already drafted Christian Ponder. And then the next year, Andrew Luck was available in the first round of the draft. So even going into the Andrew Luck draft, the Vikings were bad. But it kind of felt like, well, they already made their pick, and it's, you know, sort of underwhelming, and that they drafted Christian Ponder and they stretched for him. But even going into the Ponder draft, the guys in that draft, remind me, it was Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker.
Ponder draft, yes.
Ponder, and then later on, Kaepernick and Andy Dalton went in like the second round. And so even going into that draft, you kind of knew the Vikings were in the market for a quarterback. But none of them were super franchise-changing, exciting guys that you were going to watch on Saturday. You weren't going to, like, sit down and watch a Florida State game to watch Christian Ponder in 2010. I'm sorry.
So that draft started with the early analysis the year before that college football season began was, I think in the mock drafts, the April before the draft, I think Bortles had risen to the top pick. And at that point, you're like, this Blake Bortles must be great. But as I recall, he was one of the first QBs who got exposed because this is when college was very much transitioning to a style of offense that made quarterbacks who were okay look great. And so by the time that draft came around, it was basically, Blake is okay. I think the thing on Locker, who had a lot of pre-draft buildup, was accuracy problems eventually became a problem. But you're right. The difference now is I think we're watching potentially at least two quarterbacks here who could be franchise-changing, really special. And that's the point, though. Saturdays now, if you're a Vikings fan, you tell your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, I'm sorry, I'm not only not going to check out on football, I am more engaged than ever. Saturdays are now for scouting. This is what's going to make it fun.
Saturdays are for scouting.
No, there are no Apple Orchard. There are no Apple Orchard trips. There are no drives to look at leaves.
What about the pumpkin patches?
No, they're out because you're scouting now. I'm telling you that I'm giving you ways to be more involved into your passion for football can be dealt with now more than ever by scouting for who you want to be the Vikings quarterback starting in 2021.
Sorry, honey, can't rake the leaves. Yeah. Ohio State's playing.
Forget Saturdays are for the boys. Saturdays are now for scouting.
Saturdays are for scouting. That's how Vikings fans have to think now. I'm giving you a reason to engage even more than ever.
So I want, at some point here, I want to put you on the spot. I want your key Judd Zolgad observations from Justin Fields. Okay, I don't know if you have three or five, but I want to get to those in a second. But I need some clarification here. I did see, I think it was the first touchdown pass, Justin. Maybe it was early in the game. I just saw a clip on social media.
One. Oh, yeah.
And I need some help in that he takes the snap, he drops back, and the left guard gets bulldozed backwards about 6 yards, okay? And at that, mentally, I'm watching that thinking, oh, the play's over, right? Yeah, like, it's a rule in football, at least when you watch the Vikings, when your left guard gets bulldozed back or your right guard gets bulldozed back, there isn't anything you can possibly do as a highly paid quarterback to escape the pressure and make a play, right? And Justin Fields took one, what I would presume to be illegal step to his right, kept the play alive and found a receiver in the end zone for a touchdown. And I'm just wondering, is that something that we can clear with the NFL rules officials to make sure that the Vikings are indeed allowed to do the same thing with their quarterback? Is it legal to move a step out of the way of an offensive lineman that's getting bulldozed and still make a play?
Here's the thing I didn't like. The one thing I didn't like about that play was that Field seemed to keep his calm and composure.
You cannot have that.
You are supposed to drop to the ground crying, okay? You're supposed to drop to the... I mean, he just shuffled. It was like, oh, no big deal. That's a bunch of BS. I mean, that young man has a lot to learn about how to panic, okay?
Yeah, if you're going to be a Vikings quarterback, you cannot maintain your poise in that situation, okay?
In fact, the best thing in that case, just drop the ball.
Yeah, agreed. Or hang it out to dry recklessly and let someone swat it out of your hand. That's another option, too, in that spot. Either one works
yes,
if you want to be a
Vikings
quarterback.
You are absolutely correct about that play. That is, we all saw that and thought, oh, my God, this looks like it. That was really effective.
So, okay, so as you're sitting there and you're putting your Vikings scouting hat on and you're watching Ohio State and you're watching Justin Fields, what stood out to you when you were envisioning this guy wearing a purple uniform? What are the things that stood out to you, Scout Judd Zolgad?
I think I believe I tweeted this, and I think I tweeted three things, and I forget exactly what they were, but they had to do with arm strength. He put the throw that you're talking about, forget the footwork, was a gorgeous throw.
It was a rope. Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely perfect. And look, on Kirk's best day, he can make that throw too. But for a college kid to make that throw, you say, whoa, okay. So that was one thing I saw for sure. One of the most important things, though, that I tweeted out, and I said there's a big difference between the word I'm about to use and the word that you're associating it with, was I used the term footwork. And what I said was, this is not speed. Like, he's a fast kid. I get that. But I don't care about speed. A lot of guys can have speed. And guess what? If you go from being a speedy, effective college QB and you get to the pros, defenses have ways to stop you, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. Footwork is absolutely key. And the play, Phil, to go back to the touchdown pass that you were talking about before, that to me is footwork. It is the ability to scramble if you have to, but your first instinct should not be, oh my God, I have to run. Your first instinct should be, oh my God, I have to shuffle and look and continue to go through my progressions, right? That's what Kirk cannot do. Fields did that. And I don't know that is something that can necessarily be taught really well. I think it's instinct, and I think it comes part and parcel of being good at that job, which is a very tough job. So that my most important takeaway was his operational skills in the pocket before he even takes off and runs were really, really impressive. And I came away from watching that game thinking that the gap between Lawrence and Fields is probably closer than I thought it was when I sat down 3 hours before that to begin my scouting mission.
He's a big dude. Like he kind of reminds me, well, he definitely reminds me size wise of Dante, and that he's like 6'2", 6'3". He's listed at like 225, but might be more like Dante was like 250 or something.
He's a linebacker.
But he also kind of reminds me a little bit of early career before he lost mobility, Ben Roethlisberger, where he's just sort of this hulking presence when he takes the snap, and he's not just going to go down. You know, part of what bothers me about Kirk is like if a defensive lineman puts a hand on him, you know, he's probably going to go down. Like he's not going to fend off a sack. I mean, there was a play, you know, speaking of the Ben Roethlisberger comparison, I don't know if you guys saw that play yesterday against the Titans or on Sunday, I should say, against the Titans. And he's like in the grasp. He's trying to run away, but he has no legs anymore. And he just like Brett Favre, he uses his left hand to like backhand end over end a pass to a receiver. And Fields sort of strikes me as a guy that's going to be really hard to bring down, not only because of his size, but he's also more mobile. I wouldn't put him anywhere near like the Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson mobility range. I don't even think he's as mobile as a Mitch Trubisky, but he appears very much able to use his footwork and mobility to keep plays alive. And even improvise after maybe the routes have run their course. And that's going to be a breath of fresh air if the Vikings could get somebody who can do that.
6'3", 227.
Okay.
So that's really good size. But yeah, see, I think I know that being able to move and run and pick up yards in that way is important now in football. I totally get that. But I think we fall too in love with that initially. And I think what you just described is far more important to me, which is, do you have pocket awareness, right? And do you have the ability to use your speed to actually just move around and your smarts? And that's to me, that's the starting point. Because if you're just fast, I don't care. I need you to understand what you're doing. And Fields, to me, looks like he has a really good understanding. Culpepper took time because I don't think that Dante was anywhere near prepared to play, which is why he didn't initially when he got to the league. And it still took him some time once he got the starting job to adjust. Fields, to me, just off that game against Nebraska, seems like he's far more prepared to play right now. I'm not trying to say that he would step in opening day of 2021 and be a star, but I think he has the attributes and I think he has the understanding of the game itself where it wouldn't be a train wreck either.
Yeah. The only argument is, and it's not his fault, but like Ohio State quarterbacks have tended to not work out in the NFL. Am I missing? Is there a star Ohio State quarterback in the NFL at any point in the last 20 years?
Well, Dwayne Haskins certainly has not worked out well, and that continues to get worse.
Troy Smith wasn't great.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I really don't think there has
been. I think
that wouldn't prevent
me
from drafting him by any means, but I don't know if there's just something in the way that they operate that makes quarterbacks. I mean, they have NFL talent up and down, and so it obviously elevates quarterbacks, and oftentimes they're playing against weak Big Ten opponents that allow you to score 50 points without really.
I don't know who those teams. I have no idea what you're talking about. I still go, to be clear, I still go Lawrence is one. To me, he's one. Fields is good. But Lawrence is one. Fields is two. And then I think we get into the whole Trey Lance, the kid from BYU discussion. Those guys are at. But I think it's a very clear right now, probably one and two. The BYU kid is going to be tough too, because their schedule, I mean, they're playing teams where it's harder to judge as well. But if I had the top pick, I'm taking Lawrence with that pick. And I will say this again for everybody who says, well, the Jets are going to take him. If I'm the Trevor Lawrence camp, I am not playing for the Jets. And I'm telling the Jets that. I'm saying you can draft me. He will never play for you.
How would that work? So how did it work with Eli? So Eli told the Chargers, I ain't going to play for you.
Yeah,
and the Chargers selected him anyways, but then they worked out a trade. And the Chargers get Phillip Rivers,
yes,
and Sean Merriman.
Different? I forget who they got, but
they got Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, but they definitely switched picks. Mm-hmm. The Jets don't deserve the benefit of the doubt, and I would, if I was an agent, or if I was the Lawrence camp. My argument would be very simple. You have ruined Darnold. Like, we have no idea. Sam Darnold, every time he plays a game for that team, gets worse and worse and progressively worse, right? And we have no idea if that guy had a chance to be good or not. Like, he could stink. I don't know. But I will say this. The Jets deserve to be blamed. And why would you want to put yourself on that team in that environment? And the problem with the Jets is it starts from the top down. Like, they can fire Gaze, okay? But they're owned by people that are terrible. Like, they're from the top down, they are a disaster. Why would you, if you are a quarterback who you know is going to be thrown in immediately, and by the way, this is your career, right? Like, this is the next 10 to hopefully maybe 10, 12, 15 years of your life. What interest would you have of playing for a franchise that appears very intent on trying to ruin guys within the first 3 to 4 years?
Right,
I would,
of course,
say I'm not playing for you.
And like the Jets would say, well, listen, I mean, part of the reason why we're garbage is because we haven't hit on the right quarterback yet. But everybody was saying that, for the most part, that Sam Darnold was going to be, you know, if maybe not like a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady level star, but was going to be a franchise quarterback. And for him to be so much less than that and to be one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, I think speaks volumes about the Jets. But I would be curious to know how that would happen. Like, could he just come out flat out after the college football season's over and say, listen, once we know that the Jets go 1-15, could he just say, I'm not going to play for you? And so, you know, figure it out. If that means you have to draft Justin Fields, or could it put wheels in motion for a trade in a team like the Vikings. Here's the most amazing thing. So tankathon.com, 2001 NFL draft order. For as much great work as the Vikings have put in this tank for Trevor and fail for Fields campaign, I mean, they are doing work. They're 1-5. They've already traded Unique Ngakoue to make their defense worse. There's rumors that they might, and we're going to talk about this on Purple Daily today, there's rumors that they might trade Harrison Smith, and Adam Thielen's name has been floated. So the Vikings are doing the necessary work to get as high up in the draft as possible to this point, all right? And there are still five teams with worse records than the Vikings. The Jets are 0-7. The Giants, the Jaguars, the Falcons, and the Dolphins via Houston's record are all 1-6 right now. Cincinnati is 1-5-1, and so the Vikings have the edge on them. But I just find it pretty amazing. Like, in this year in which the Vikings are destined, they're 1-5. They're probably destined to make a couple more trades and to possibly go like 3-13. And there might legitimately be an 0-16 team and a couple other teams, if not more, with worse records at the end of the year.
The National Football League has never been worse. And that is saying something, because I'm the guy who has harped on the whole, this parody is bad teams. I mean, you've had bad teams for a long time. I have never seen a collection, Phil, of this many putrid teams. I watched the Bears last night, okay? It was like, I thought 5-1. I said this last week.
They're going to the playoffs.
And I said this last week. I said the Bears are now in my top 10 because they're 5-1. There's something I didn't see here, right? I watched them last night. I tell you what I saw. Nothing. They are awful. They are putrid. Matt Nagy is Brad Childress too, as far as offensive construction goes. But the one thing that Lawrence can do is, I think he's a junior, so he could actually threaten to go back to school. I don't think he wants to. I don't think he will. But I'm just saying, I think the intrigue for a team like the Vikings that gets added to this is if the Lawrence camp says he's not playing for the Jets, the Jets at least have to entertain the possibility that he's not lying. So if you're the Vikings or a team that's bad, and again, close to where the Jets are going to draft, not the top pick, but let's say top five, top six pick, it becomes at least an intriguing discussion of what would you give the Jets to get that pick to take a guy like Trevor Lawrence.
And that's why I think it's imperative that the Vikings need, through the next week until the trade deadline, the Vikings need to get either another first-round pick or a second-round pick. Because right now, I don't know that you can move up, especially if other teams want to move up. Like, let's say you pick six, and you want to get to number one or you want to get to number two, and you're going to try and do it without an additional first round pick and without a second round pick. And you're going to start the negotiation with third round picks. If I'm a GM, I'm saying, sorry, guys, there's a bunch of other teams that are quarterback needy and desperate too. And they would gladly give us an additional first round pick or a second round pick. And obviously you could look into the future and you could trade next year's first round pick, but you're going to need that too. If you're going into a rebuild mode here, if you're put it this way, if you're in the market to draft a quarterback high up in the first round, you are in a rebuild. And if you're going to mortgage everything, if you're going to mortgage next year's first round pick and you're not going to wind up getting an extra first round pick or second round pick this year.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that's a separate conversation about what could you get for some of the players on the roster, but that would be my thinking right now is how can I get as many assets as I need to, so that if I do finish like 4-12 and have to move up five picks, I can do so.
I love what you're thinking right now. I absolutely love this. So what I would give up, I think they have to get a second round pick. I think they have to get the Ngakoue pick back. I think if I could get up to one and take Lawrence, I think what I offer up is I switch first round picks in 2020. If I can get Trevor Lawrence, I'm willing to trade you my 2021 first. Okay. I think he's the only guy of the quarterback list that I would say that for. But then I think you're right. I think you have to also throw in probably your second round pick this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that you have to get another first round pick for 2020. I think you're spot on. I think you have to find a way by next Tuesday to get a second round pick back, because if you go in without a second round pick in 2020, I think attempting to trade up, which by the way, you have to consider doing, I think that becomes really, really difficult if, to your point, your starting point is to say, well, yeah, but I got a third round pick. Oh, look, yeah. I got eight seventh round picks, guys. Don't you want a seventh round pick? Okay, no, I don't.
Let me ask you this. We'll start with Declan on this one, all right? So, because Declan put out on the Score North account, I think it was yesterday, the latest tank for Trevor, fail for Fields. Well, what would the Vikings be drafting right now, according to Tankathon? And it's neither of those guys, because those guys are gone off the board by the time the sixth pick comes around. So right now, according to Tankathon.com, the Vikings would be drafting Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State, that I think we would love to see more of if they played more games this year, but they don't. And so we're sort of just left. I think his value is only going to drop, but then it might come back. Like if there's a combine, any flashes or a pro day or something, you know, he can revive his value. But my question to you guys is, if it's Trey Lance and he is basically, I'm not saying he's the same player, but mobility and arm, let's say he's Carson Wentz. Do you guys feel like Trey Lance as Carson Wentz, a Carson Wentz type quarterback, is going to help the Vikings enough over the next 5 or 6 years?
I don't, because I'm very out on Carson Wentz. And I know he shredded his knee when he was playing arguably at an MVP level 3 years ago. And then Nick Foles steps in and wins them a Super Bowl. But his accuracy has issues. He's very mobile, which is nice. But yeah, I have big questions about his decision making, and I would have big trepidations about that. And when I talked to Thor Nystrom on Friday on Purple Daily, he thinks Trey Lance is more in the like 13-9 range. He doesn't really put him as number six on a big board.
The Vikings would gladly reach then.
Yes, no, exactly. It'd be like vintage. It'd be vintage. And I asked him that too. I was like, you know, like, is he really, you know, the number sixth guy on the big board? And he said, you know, like, if I was doing a big board, I probably have him like 10-13. Now he still lists him as like the third quarterback off the board, the BYU kid, and then the Florida quarterback who I'm blanking on too.
By the way, Zach Wilson is the BYU quarterback. Okay. Just to give Zach Wilson some name credit, so we don't all three of us refer to him as the BYU kid.
The BYU kid. So he projects that there'll probably be three or four quarterbacks taken in the first round, and Kyle Trask is the guy at Florida too that could be kind of rounding things off. But I would bet that someone like Lance or Trask are most likely not week one starters and probably a little bit of projects.
The kid's played one game this year, which really concerns me. If he is Carson Wentz, do I take him? Are you saying top 10? If I have a top 10 pick, which they probably should, probably not. Look, here's my thing now. Okay. I'm 50. I'm about to turn 51. I'm sick of looking at really good QBs and then going to say, you know what? I'm going to go out on the street though and get a knockoff QB because it looks just like the real purse. I'm going to have that knockoff QB and you're going to be surprised at my knockoff QB, which I got in Chelsea. Look at my knockoff quarterback. Okay.
Are you saying that when you draft Trey Lance, that's going to be some guy in like fake Oakleys in a trench coat opening up his trench coat? Hey, you want to watch? Hey,
yes. Christian Ponder was too.
You want a Skolex? Yeah, that's right.
I'm so sick of this. I honest to God, like, go get the real thing. Go shopping and get the real. The Wilfs will spend. Okay, the Wilfs will spend. This is going to be a competition of assets and what I could give to get up to get one of what we consider to be the top two QBs. All right. I mean, Kirk Cousins literally was in Soho on a big table, and they said, but look at this Cousins. I mean, this is a knockoff of a really good QB. And the Vikings again are like, oh, you're right. Exactly. We'll pay top dollar out here for that. No, go inside and go shopping at the real store. Go to Macy's or whatever the store is and buy the real quarterback. That's my point, is let's talk about accumulating the proper assets to get up. And by the way, so there's a lot of teams that stink, right? But there are teams that stink that are going to have really good draft picks who don't need quarterbacks. Case in point is the Dolphins through Houston. Houston's awful. Houston does not care. Their first round pick is going to the Dolphins, who have Tua. The Dolphins are going to be a prime team that you are going to have to give a lot to. But I'm fine with that. I'm fine with if you can get Trevor Lawrence or Fields, I am fine with making a decision that, yes, this is going to cost more than we want. But if we're right here, like, we're giving ourselves a very good chance to be right. That's the most important thing, Phil. Like Trey Lance might be fine. I don't know. But these are all like, well, we think this and we think that. And he did play one game. He played one game. Give me the most sure thing that you possibly can, and I'm on board.
I'm glad you brought up the draft order here, because I think that's another game to play. So things that you're rooting for as a Vikings fan, even though the Viking season is basically over, you're rooting for, you're scouting for quarterbacks on Saturdays. But here's the other things you're rooting for, because ideally you'd want to clear out as many quarterback needy teams as possible from the list in front of you, right? So let's start with let's say the draft order stays the same here. All right, let's say the Vikings, they stay at 6. And the teams above them remain Miami via Houston, Atlanta, Jacksonville, and then both New York teams. So we'll start at the top. You're rooting for Sam Darnold to show signs of life in the second half of the season, because then it will make the Jets much, much less likely to take Trevor Lawrence. I think that ship has probably sailed at this point. I think if you're going to fire everybody, and you're going to bring in a new front office and a new coach, and they decide we want Trevor Lawrence, then I think you're going to wind up trading Sam Darnold for like a third round pick or something. I think you're rooting for Danny Dimes on the other New York team.
He's
to have a big
going
second
out partying.
Head. Would they cut bait on Daniel Jones with Justin Fields staring him in the face?
I think their GM Gettleman might be in trouble. And if the Giants blow up their front office, I think Danny Dimes is probably in big trouble. Don't you guys?
But those guys, I mean, Darnold and Daniel Jones, those are guys that in a different era of Vikings football, I would say take a flyer. Those are kind of like those have become sort of train wreck organizations, and especially Darnold. And those guys are still blue chip talents that aren't that far removed from their high draft stock. But I've sort of moved past that bin at the Vikings grocery store, too. Just want the top shelf alcohol. I don't want the new thing. Like, no, like I don't want
you
the
want
reclamation
the
thing. Like
you want the Gucci bag and I don't blame you. Buy me 100%. The damn Gucci. I don't want your knockoff. That's not a Christmas present, you cheapo.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. If you're drafting sixth and those guys aren't available or you don't have enough draft capital to trade up, and now it's Trey Lance or a trade like a third or a fourth round pick for a Sam Darnold. I might look to just roster both of those things. I might look to draft a quarterback and trade for a Sam Darnold so that I can figure out once and for all who's my franchise quarterback. The third team on this list, the Jaguars, you're rooting for Gardner Minshew to have a big second half of the season. So they aren't thinking about drafting a quarterback. I would say Atlanta, it depends on how many years they think Matt Ryan has left and where they think they're at. I think it makes more sense for Atlanta to trade Matt Ryan to a team that just needs a quarterback. Like, imagine Matt Ryan with the Bears and how great the Bears could be with that defense and Matt Ryan. And then that would open up the door for them to draft a quarterback, which would be bad for the Vikings.
Yeah.
And Miami's not drafting a quarterback.
The Falcons are going to have a new GM as well and coach. So they're going to have to make that decision. But my guess is that what you said is right, that they'll probably try and trade Matt and draft. But again, this is why you need to, before next Tuesday, accumulate the assets to give yourself a chance to trade up. But it's why I really want Lawrence and his people to say we will not play for the Jets and to force the Jets hand. And you can do it. Like it's been done. Elway was taken by the Baltimore Colts, right? And he said I've got a choice here. If you don't trade my rights, I'm going to go play baseball. And the Colts are like, oh, okay, cool. So if Lawrence says, if you draft me,
I'm gonna go play baseball. They're like,
I'll go play baseball too. Kyler Murray,
you haven't played baseball.
It doesn't matter.
Like, I haven't played baseball since I was 10 years old, and I would still rather play baseball than the Jets.
I'm gonna go play for the Timberwolves. They get the number one overall pick. I'll do that.
But this has to be left in as a part of the equation to make this more chaotic at the top, which I think it could be. And if you are the Vikings, you are 100% going to root for chaos because that could help you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, they have Tankathon has Trevor Lawrence going number one. They've got the offensive tackle Sewell from Oregon going to the Giants. They've got the Giants going another year with Danny Dimes, and then Fields going to Jacksonville. So that, and then Trey Lance would be the third quarterback off the board with the number six pick. That's how they have it. So be very, very interesting.
Is Lance coming here then? Is the sixth pick the Vikings in Tankathon right now?
Yep. Trey Lance coming here at six, which. Well, would be maybe a bit of a stretch, but.
And the other question, too, that you can't dismiss here is who is the coach during the draft? Because if the coach is Zim, you know what he's going to do. There is no question in my mind. he's going to say, we got to get, our defense was terrible. Who's the best defensive end? You know, that's what he's going to say if he's given the opportunity. And I'm not kidding. I know it's maddening, but that's what he's going
to
say.
Yeah. So many things to be figured out.
Weekend isn't lost though, Phil. That's the most important thing here. Saturday, Sunday, red zone. I'm rooting for every bad team there was. Like the Jets, I'm like, they got a chance. The Bills aren't good today.
It is. And it's like, I know that there's still some Vikings fan stragglers that are like you guys, like you're rooting for losses. You're so negative. No, like we should almost have a disclaimer before every one of these shows and segments, including on Purple Daily, should just have a disclaimer at the beginning of it. Every single episode that says, the mission statement for this show is to help the Vikings win a Super Bowl, period. And then you can never come at us and say that we're being too negative. Well, you want to trade Harrison Smith? Yeah, because he could net you a second round pick that helps you win a Super Bowl at some point. That's the mission statement here. We're here to help. All right. That's all we're trying to do.
And encourage. We're encouraging you. We're encouraging you to watch more football. Forget the pumpkin patch. Forget the apples. Tell the kids to go play out in the front yard or backyard. I don't care where the kids go. Watch more football.
I'm quarantined for the next 2 weeks, so I got nothing but sports and TV watching. It's the only thing I can do for the next 14 days. So.
All right, Declan, your assignment is to let's get past Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Legit assignment for you if you can figure out how to do it.
Okay.
We want you to watch Kyle Trask from Florida and Zach Wilson from BYU. Go watch
I love it.
If you can find the all if you can find the all 22, I know that you're not a professional scout, but like we don't care. If you can go find the all 22 of Kyle Trask, we're here for it. We'll give you 20 minutes to lay out what you've seen.
I mean, given my love for quarterbacks such as Kevin Cobb, John David Booty, and Blake Bortles, I mean, what could go wrong? You know, like what could go wrong with me watching those guys and giving my opinions on them? I don't see anything that could go wrong with it.
Yeah, your scale from like your scale of 1 to 10, the 10 would be like what you thought about Josh Freeman before the Monday night game. David Booty would be like your 7. So we can have the Declan scale of scouting.
Tell them you're happy to be here.
Yeah. Tell them you're really happy to be here.
So happy to be here.
Josh, tell them you love the color purple.
Tell them you'll throw the ball into the upper deck at Giant Stadium. They'll never believe it. It's true.
53 passes in your first start with the Vikings.
His Uncle Rico impression. Football over the fourth deck. That's right. All right. So a quick cheap plug for Purple Daily. You can find daily Vikings conversations on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast. Also in audio form every day on Apple, Spotify, and scorenorth.com. Quick pause, and then we'll come back and we'll dive a little bit more into the Gophers' underwhelming debut to the 2020 season, Mackie and Judd. Gophers opener against Michigan. I was all very excited. Game day was in town for the second straight home game. Super pumped up to watch PJ Fleck push this thing forward. And instead it was a khakis and cleats-less Jim Harbaugh who put the beat down on the Gophers. So Judd, I know you and Chip did a deep dive yesterday, your Conduits of Trouble version of Mackie and Judd. So give me a quick summary of what you guys talked about yesterday and where you stand, and then I've got takes on this.
Okay. We basically started off by both saying that we were not surprised that the Gophers lost. We thought it was going to be a good, close, competitive game, that the Gophers had a good chance to win the game, but the fact that they lost was not surprising. How they lost, not only surprising, but disturbing. The defense was expected to be certainly different and growing, but a Michigan offense that, as Chip pointed out, Phil Mackey, had a bunch of new parts itself. First time starting quarterback, offensive line changes, receiver who opted out, so he didn't play. When they get 481 yards against you and basically put a beatdown on you that was very, at least for me, remindful of the last game that Rob Smith was the DC for Fleck in 2018 against Illinois. And of course, he got fired. That game was on a Saturday and he got fired the next Sunday. That's disturbing. The offense wasn't really to blame for the loss, but they certainly didn't help. The fact that the right side of your offensive line was gone was a factor. The one thing I will say this, the one thing, and I got a tweet about this, shortly after the show with Chip was posted yesterday, I got the boy for a first game when they hadn't played and practiced a lot. You guys were sure hard on the Gophers. And my response back was this. If Michigan had played 3 games, I would agree. We were too hard on the Gophers. But Michigan hadn't just played. They were both playing for the first time. And this goes back to our Vikings discussion about quarterbacks to me. The great thing about what Fleck has done here and Gopher football as a whole is expectations now are higher, and they should be higher. And look, you're going to lose games. Michigan's a good program. We all get that. But before I turn the conversation in your direction, just keep in mind, if the Michigan kicker had been competent, the final score of that game would have been 58, I believe, to 24.
Yeah.
Being blown out like that at home was disturbing to see. Is the season done? Absolutely not. You've got back-to-back games now. Well, but I'm just saying, you got back-to-back games coming up now that you could definitely win. Maryland's a dumpster fire. Illinois after that. So, look, there are winnable games. But there's no getting around the fact that what we saw on Saturday, if you weren't surprised by how one-sided that game was, then you are an old-school Gopher fan who has not truly raised his or her expectations.
So, all right. So that's, I don't disagree with a lot of what you say. Actually, it's funny. The thing I actually disagree with the most is you brought a positive ray of sunshine at the end of your takedown. You said, but the season's not over yet. And I would look at that defense and say, boy, I mean, yeah. Can they beat Maryland? Yes. Like, can they be there? There's going to be like three or four teams on this schedule that your defense doesn't have to be the Purple People Eaters, the Steel Curtain. Like, you're going to probably score enough points and you're going to win a game much in the same fashion as Michigan beat the Gophers on Saturday. But the defense is a problem, and you lose that many players, that this is where your greatest strength becomes your greatest weakness. And that one of the greatest strengths of PJ Fleck is recruiting and developing. And you saw it at Western Michigan, and they did all of those things defensively to the tune of sending a handful of players to the NFL. And I think Antoine Winfield's going to be an NFL star before his career is over. And so that's great. You want that to happen. It's been a long time since we've seen the top end NFL caliber talent all over the field flourishing as we have. I think back to some of those Glenn Mason teams, and it was mostly offensive talent, where there was one year, I think it was like 2003, where they had three NFL running backs. They had NFL tight end in Matt Spaeth, and they had Cederstrom. They had a couple offensive linemen who went to the NFL. And it's definitely been that long since we've seen this amount of NFL talent just up and down. There might have been a Jerry Kill year in there. But here's the thing. We're not looking for just one pop-up season in Minnesota. I think I speak for most of us when I say that there are two main challenges for PJ Fleck when he took this job. Number one was take the program to a new height. So he did that last year. That's the loftiest the Gophers football team has been basically since 1960, right? Mm-hmm. Lou Holtz did a good job in the 80s for a couple of years. They weren't that good. Glenn Mason did a good job for a couple of years, was good, sustained good for about 10 years. He never reached the height that PJ Fleck did last year. Jerry Kill was sustained good for like 6 years, never as lofty as going to a New Year's Day bowl game, not only beating a Penn State team in the regular season, but then beating an Auburn team on New Year's Day. So step one was accomplished, and that's awesome. Step two is the harder step. Step two is sustain that level or close to it of success and really get this program in a new place, in a Wisconsin place, above where Iowa has been. Like, to me, that's the expectation, and I don't think there's anything. It's not like we're sitting here and you've got some small town school in some rural area of America that no one cares about, and you're trying to recruit kids. Like, it's not that hard of a place to recruit when you have a new practice facility and a great city and professional opportunities and a coach that knows what he's doing, right? And so do I think that that loss against Michigan wiped out all of the potential of sustained success? No, but I think it highlighted you're not just going to be able to flip a switch and turn a roster over and magically have the new players step in and be as good as the old players. It's going to take work, and it's going to take probably even better recruiting than PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck has already raised the bar for recruiting, but it's going to take even better recruiting to make sure that the guys who step in are also potential NFL players. And when I look at this loss to Michigan, I think, boy, that's a really disappointing defensive effort. And it's not something I think they're going to be able to clean up in the middle of the season. Like, do I think they're going to allow 50 points basically in every game? No. But on the flip side, I look at Michigan and I see a team that probably has underachieved greatly compared to its level of talent the last several years. Michigan regularly has top 10, top 15 recruiting classes, and they're losing 2, 3, 4 games a year. And some of the teams that are in and around them in recruiting, a lot of these SEC powerhouse teams are off competing for national championships. So we might also be seeing Michigan just living up to their expectations for the first time in a while. And the Gophers were just a victim on that path. So I guess long point longer. And just to sum it up for you, I watched that game and thought, okay, like the Gophers are going to score some points. It doesn't mean that like they're going to go, you know, 3 wins in the Big Ten season, but I think it ends their chances of playing in the Big Ten championship game. And I think it ends any discussion about, boy, can they go from where they were last year and maybe take a step forward? There's clearly going to be some sort of step back. And then if PJ Fleck is still around in 2021, 22, can they leverage these good recruiting classes and keep pushing it forward?
That's the type of game to me that you have to be now with the newfound expectations for the program. You have to be competitive and consistently like that. That was a classic Gophers circa 1994, like whacker, like defense. It was awful. And so I don't want to hear people defending the Gophers, because to defend them is to say that they can't be good, which I don't think is fair. And we saw last year the beginnings of something where short of maybe the Buckeyes, because they're just so good, but short of the Buckeyes, I think every team that you play in this conference, if you lose by more than, let's say, 10 points, 15 points, it's surprising. I mean, and that was for Michigan to come in here and to blow your drawers off that badly was surprising, disappointing. And by the way, too, and I brought this up to Chip, Phil. Can we please stop with the teams in this town, football teams in this town, getting off to good starts if you're going to be blown out? The Vikings, 2017 conference championship game, right? In Philly. Drawers blown off. But what was the first touchdown? Rudolph for a touchdown. Oh, my gosh. They're competitive. Wisconsin, TCF Bank Stadium last year. I think it was a deep touchdown pass to Bateman. Is that right? Gophers get off to this hot start. Oh my God, look at this. Saturday night, block punt. Oh, the Gophers have come to play. This is going to be outstanding. Can we, if you're going to get your drawers blown off, can you please just get them blown off? It's like you tease us first. Yeah. You're the cute girl at the other end of the bar who's like, hey, what's going on? And then you're like, oh, hi. And she's like, well, you're an idiot though.
And then you get COVID.
But yeah.
Exactly.
And then the next thing you know, you're spitting in a cup.
Declan, just make sure that next time you aren't sharing your Corona Hard Seltzer cans with the women who have COVID. Okay.
That's not part of your contract, Declan.
Not yet.
No, never.
COVID protection.
But anyway, these hot starts, they drive me crazy.
Well, think about the first half of that Gophers game. So they block a punt, they go right down, they score a touchdown, and it's like, and you're thinking, oh man, they're going to get Jim Harbaugh fired. This is like, this is the state where football teams at the very least get opposing coaches fired. And by the end of the half, not by the end of the game, by the end of the half, they were so desperate and realized that they were so outmanned defensively that they're trying desperation fake punts themselves to try and spark something, right? And like you were at the game and we were texting and you said, well, what about that fake punt? I said, honestly, like, I think they felt just so overwhelmed by what Michigan was doing offensively. They thought the only way for us to win this game is to pull some sort of a rabbit out of our hat, whether it's right now or in the second half, because there's no way. I think at the time they were down by 17 at the time.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Something like that. They were down by like 2.5 or 3 scores or whatever it was.
It was trending the wrong way.
Yeah. And PJ Fleck's doing math in his head and he's thinking, okay, like if we get one stop, we're still down. If we get like he's thinking we probably need like 3 stops the rest of the game and score punter, every time.
His punter can't punt and his defense stinks too.
How hard is it to find, like, I feel like punting and kicking at the U of M outside of Reese Lloyd for a couple of years, it's been a major adventure. Right. Like It's one of the biggest campuses in America, for God's sake. You can't just find like a soccer player to kick a 50-yarder.
Fleck was asked that question during his Monday press conference and explained that holding open tryouts now is tough because there's a certain amount of people that could be in, like, technically the Gophers' entourage or bubble. And once a person comes in, they can't go out. And so now it's tougher because Chip and
you run the risk of having like 8 crappy kickers because you let them all in the bubble.
And yeah, and they've all got the vid like Declan. But Chip brought up the fact that, like, why not try? Like, go find soccer players or something.
Yeah.
The guy punted 12 yards and I felt bad for him.
Dude, it was super windy, in fairness.
Question for you. In 2020, and I asked Chip this yesterday as well. In 2020, if you are faced with a predicament in which you either completely don't trust your defense or your punter stinks, Phil Mackey. Now, so I'm not saying 10 years back. Do you try a fake punt where you snap to the up back? Or I think it was like 4th and 4. Do you just go for it and like trust, hey, look, if we get it, we get it. If we don't, we don't. But we're not going to be cute here. We're actually going to leave our most competent players who get yards on the field to try to get yards.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like a 4th and 5, 4th and 4.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
See, if it's that, I'm running a play. I've got a top 10 draft pick wide receiver, and I've got one of the more steady, reliable quarterbacks. He also had like one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen a Gopher quarterback throw in that game. But I still trust Tanner Morgan. I just want to play. Now, if it's 4th and 8 or 4th and 10 and they're not expecting it, and I've got something that we've been practicing and I've got in my tool bag, okay. But I would just, yeah, I wouldn't, if I can't move the ball, I'm running a fake. But if I'm the Gophers offense and I have an NFL cyborg that I can just throw the ball to, like,
right,
don't overthink it.
That's what I think too.
So
just go for it.
So I don't know. Like, they're going to beat some of these bad teams. Now, okay, for them to have a chance to play in the Big Ten championship game, which is really what the goal was going in, right? I mean, that's the thing that they haven't done yet. It's the step beyond what they did last year. They're almost certainly going to have to run the table because Wisconsin is going to be the same old Wisconsin team, but although they might be starting a 4th-string quarterback this week because of COVID.
This is the difference now. This whole thing is going to be very interesting to see play out, because I think you are going to have not a lot, but you're definitely gonna have some key players, I think, test positive. Don't you guys? Because it's not
Wisconsin
be possible.
Because Wisconsin might not even, there's half the teams in the Big Ten that they don't even need a quarterback to beat. They can just run the ball 50 times.
Bring back Brooks. Does Brooks have eligibility left? Our guy Bollinger?
No, but they've cloned him 6 times since then.
So they have, yeah. Actually, they're off this Saturday. Oh, they don't play this Saturday.
No, they play.
They
play Nebraska.
They play Nebraska. Oh, the Halloween is this Saturday. Got my dates mixed up. So yeah, they have Nebraska this Saturday. Okay. Then they have Purdue, Michigan, Northwestern, Minnesota, and then Indiana.
Okay. And Nebraska hung pretty tough this last weekend for a while, for like an hour.
If you've got
and then COVID, and then they got smoked.
If you've got COVID, you're out for 21 days, correct? In Big mm-hmm. Ten, I think it's 21 day. So that's the next 3 weeks of games. So who knows?
Okay.
So it's going to be a bizarre year.
Yeah. So the Gophers pretty much have to run the table, stay healthy, and then run the table the rest of the way.
Get your specialist back. That's the most important thing. Get your specialist. All those 6 specialists. I don't know what's wrong with them. Seriously, they were down. They were down 3 specialists.
It's super weird.
The right side of the offensive line was out, but you know what? The defense was the problem.
Yeah,
you are right.
So let's jump. You guys want to jump right into things we learned in the NFL this week since the Vikings weren't playing, and we have more opportunity to observe the other things that were happening.
Sunday was such a great day, such a great red zone day. I was so happy.
Can I start here? Because I got one from last night's game, actually. All right. I saw this nugget. For anyone who watched that Bears offense last night, and you probably looked like, you guys might not get this joke because you've never seen the movie, but the guy at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark who stares at the Ark and his face melts off.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That was me watching the Bears offense again last night. And something I learned about the Chicago Bears, according to ESPN Stats and Information, The Bears now have 8 games since 2001 with at least one defensive touchdown and 0 offensive touchdowns, which is also the least surprising statistic I've ever seen. I mean, seriously, so if somebody were to ask you, hey, which team has the most games where their offense did nothing and their defense did a bunch and scored touchdowns, you'd be like, the Bears, right?
The Bears.
Yeah, and so they've done it 8 times since 2001.
Can I make a I know it's going to sound silly, but can I make a serious suggestion that I think the door is open for the first time seriously since 2010? Nagy is basically, as far as I can tell, a Childress-like clone. Reed coaching tree, offensive coordinator, didn't call plays, right? But he got the job because, oh my God, he was by the hand of Andy. And he can come in and he's going to be great.
He shared an office space with Andy a couple times a week.
Nagy looks like Brad. He sort of talks like Brad. He sort of acts like Brad. For the first time since 2010, I would like to suggest this. Why not make the call to Hattiesburg?
Wow.
If you're Nagy, you're basically Childress. Make the call to Hattiesburg and see what the gunslinger's up to.
Okay. Who legitimately, if you gave him, so the Bears have some cushion. The Bears are 5-2 still. I don't think they've had their bye, right? So they have a bye coming up at some point. So they've got some time. If you gave Brett Favre the playbook and 3 weeks to put some icy hot on and just warm it up and just like, he's probably in shape because every time we see him, he looks like he's jacked, right?
Triathlons.
Wearing that copper fit, ready to go.
Oh, he's in really good shape, yeah.
He's 50 years old.
He's in great shape right now, yeah.
If you gave Brett Favre 3 weeks to warm it up, I'm not asking if he would be better than like other starting quarterbacks, Tom Brady. I'm asking, would he be better than the 2 Bears quarterbacks for the rest of the season?
It wouldn't even be close. It wouldn't be close. Now the one thing is you would have to assure him of the proper protection. And I think they were talking about on the telecast last night. I want to say one of the Bears guards is a former D lineman who got moved to guard and he was absolutely awful.
That makes sense.
So you would need to bring in, you would need to get him an offensive line that could protect him. But if you gave him just enough time, so I'm not saying all day, right? There is no question that Brett Favre at the age of 51, and I'm not joking here, I'm not being a smartass, would be a better fit for this offense and would have more success than either Trubisky or Foles. Oh. And I challenge you, who can tell me I'm crazy?
I'm here for it, man. They just need like 3 more wins to get to the playoffs too. So if it goes totally off the rails, they're still going to get in. They're off to too good of a start. What are some other things we learned, Judd?
I love this idea so much. I absolutely love it. Okay. I have a question here because I'm not convinced that he's for real, but I'm impressed with what I saw on Sunday. But I will preface this by saying it was against the Bengals. So I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, Baker Mayfield's great. But he started the game 0-for-5 with a pick. All right. And we all started tweeting because it's so much fun to tweet live in game. Ah, Baker Mayfield, you know, OBJ, he gets him hurt. Oh, man, this guy, he finishes the game 22. So after going 0-for-5, he goes 22 of 23, 297 yards, 5 touchdowns. And the incompletion in the 22 of 23 was a purposeful spike. My point being is that was intriguing to watch. At least it brings up questions about, because at times I think that Baker might be a complete lost cause and pretty much just a dummy in some ways. That was an impressive performance against a not very good team, which I do think is improving. And Burrow is going to be, I think Joe Burrow is the real deal for sure.
Agreed.
But it at least gave me something to think about to see Mayfield come back and be that strong for the rest of that game.
Yeah, I still think he's garbage, and I still think he's a bad leader, and I would swap immediately if I could. And I still think he's the weak link that's holding their entire team back. But good for him for throwing 5 touchdowns against the Bengals. I mean, it probably saved his job. I mean, you think when he's 0-for-5 and he threw the interception, you don't think Case Keenum's over there getting the old shoulder warmed up?
I don't think they bench him no matter what unless he gets hurt. I think that there's a chance that they would bail on him after the season. Yeah. But I think he's going to get the entire year to prove that he's either Stefanski's guy or not. I don't think bringing Case in fixes a damn thing too. Like, because if they decide he's not the guy, now you got to go out and find a guy. Because Case can't.
Well, if there's someone who might be available via trade in the next week or so, there'd be somebody.
What about the package of Cousins, Thielen,
yes,
and Ant Harris?
Oh,
I got three. And you know what? For this short time, I'm offering you a great deal on these three players.
We'll give you Cousins, Thielen, Ant Harris, and Rob Brzezinski to help figure out the cap.
952-828-6500. Call now for only a short time. What do I have here? It's an Adam Thielen. Oh, my God. He's available.
Dex, what did you learn?
Yeah, I had a couple of things written down that you already talked about, too. Can Baker just make up his mind on who he is? Like, for God's sakes, I don't like his characteristics. I don't think he's a very good quarterback either. I'm not ready to bail on him because I think that's premature because he's a Heisman winner. He's a number one overall pick. And I know, I believe it was Ryan Clark who made the point of this guy just probably shouldn't have been a number one overall pick. And our perception of him probably changes a little bit. So we wouldn't be as hard on him if he wasn't the number one overall pick. So if he was the 12th or 13th overall pick by Cleveland and he still stepped in when he did his rookie year and played well and played how he is now, I don't think anyone would be as hard as we are, but because he's the number one pick, also because of his attitude, everyone is super hard on him, and rightfully so. I mean, if you're the number one overall pick and you're a Heisman winner, you got expectations, so you have to deliver. But another one that stood out to me was, I think Jared Goff and the Rams are truly back, and I know that division's super stacked right now, and Jared Goff is basically he's a game manager, but like I still think that's still to a little bit diet towards him. Like, I think he's a one step above game manager. He's not in the elite top 10 tier one, tier two quarterback. Like, I think it's too harsh to call him a game manager, but he's looked damn good through the first seven games of the year. And I think all of us made a huge mistake, them and the Steelers, sleeping on the Rams this season because they look great.
Yeah. And then you think about that division right now. This is going to be one of mine, so I'll throw it out here before I throw my official one out for the next round. The Arizona Cardinals came back from the dead in that game against Seattle on Sunday night. And that used to be the doormat for years in that division. And Kyler Murray, just watching Kyler Murray, like, I don't know if I've ever put him in the elite quarterback grouping. I don't think he has the same arm as a Russell Wilson. Size wise, he's probably more prone to an injury at some point. But boy, like, if you're ranking quarterbacks based on, all right, we got one timeout, we got about a minute and 10 seconds, and we need to go 80 yards and figure it out, he's probably in the five guys I would take right now, because he can create first downs, and that's like the weak link in the division. I mean, are the 49ers the weak link in the division? I don't know. They just shellack the Patriots.
Yeah, they're playing
so
really well.
That division, we should almost just say 1 year only. NFC East, you guys take a break, take a breather. We're going to put all four NFC West teams in the playoffs, and then you can figure out the other three spots with the other divisions.
Go to seedings. Let's just go to seedings, please.
But then you almost have to get rid of divisions.
Okay.
And that gets rid of regional rivalries.
I'm willing to now.
But don't you want the Vikings to play the Packers and the Bears twice?
I really do, but the league itself has trended so poorly. Like, there are so many bad teams that divisions reward being awful, and I don't want that. So, yes, I don't want to give up Steelers, Ravens, Vikings, Packers, Bears, Packers. But if I have to get this right, I will, because I want the best teams. There are so few best teams now. That's my problem. There are so many just god awful teams that I think you have to find a way to basically start the playoffs by saying, we know for a certain that for this year, we have the best teams.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I learned, that Judd Zulgad continues to be wrong about the Lions and Matt Patricia. Back-to-back road victories over a couple of vaunted opponents, Jaguars and Falcons.
Oh.
Matt Ryan had a minute and 4 seconds, no timeouts, 75 yards. Or Matt Stafford,
yeah.
64 seconds, 75 yards, no timeouts.
Oh.
And that magic right arm brings the Lions back to 500 on the season. And knocking on the door of the 7 seed, baby.
The coach is a buffoon, but I will say this. Stafford continued. So if you watch the end of that Lions-Falcons game on Sunday, Matthew Stafford continued to show the difference between, and he's not great, but he's good, the difference between him and Cousins, right?
100%.
Like, that was the drive Cousins can't lead.
100%.
That was the drive. And it's like, okay, this is impressive.
Okay. Also, go back and watch that drive. And again, I'd have to go back and watch the full drive too. But I'm guessing he probably didn't have perfect circumstances all around him the entire time. He's driving and dictating circumstance, even without being as mobile as a Kyler Murray or a Russell Wilson.
He's overcoming novel concept. His head coach.
And a lot of other things.
He's overcoming that goofy buffoon. So yes.
Yes. Before we wrap, any other things you guys learned in the NFL this week that are
Yes. A rare mistake by our friends in New England, Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They wavered on joining my favorite 2020 club, the Tank Club, and they have joined it too late. Do you remember when the COVID opt-outs hit and Belichick was pleading with players, clearly, just go home. Sign the waiver. We'll pay you. Go home. We don't want you because we want to lose. But then they signed Cam, and Cam started off pretty strong. And we're all like, and rightfully so, oh, the Patriots don't look bad. Patriots might still be the Patriots or facsimile thereof, okay? And now the Patriots are a mess, and they stink. And Cam for the last 2 weeks or so has been terrible. In reality, Bill Belichick, for one of the first times in his coaching life, made a huge mistake, which should have been opening day. Jared Stidham, the ball is yours. All right. We're going to stink. Let's just stink. Because now it's like the Patriots are awful right now. And it's sort of like they were like, well, yeah, but we were going to be good. And then we were going to be bad. And no, join the club. You've joined too late. Join the club when the opportunity presents. The Minnesota Vikings, bravo. You joined the club and you did it right. Because I will say this, the Vikings 1-5, correct? The Vikings at 1-5. The one win they couldn't have avoided if they'd wanted to. There's not a bad win yet. Like the one win, Houston is awful and does not care.
They were trying to get their coach fired.
And they're trying to, and they quit on purpose.
Yep.
So like the Vikings are doing a perfect job. The Falcons game, the more I think about it, the game plan, genius.
Yep.
The Patriots have joined the club too late.
Yeah, it's true. And I was actually pretty shocked when they decided to sign Cam Newton to make a run at this thing, even with like all those guys who opted out. And now it makes sense for Bill Belichick to take that leave of absence I predicted on Write That Down a few months back. I think if Bill Belichick takes a mysterious leave of absence, has an illness of some kind, that's their only way to tank the way that they should the rest.
You think he's going COVID diagnosis?
Coming on me.
I think he has to. It's the only way.
Wow.
So
yeah, I like it.
So, all right. Well, that's a wrap on this episode, a quarantine episode of Mackie and Judd. Declan Goff, we're hoping that his condition stays the same, which is he still does all of the work. He just has to stay home.
Hold on a second. I got one more for you.
Sure.
I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe that my partner, Phil Mackey, was the first to broach this, so I will bring it up again. And it was written about by PFF, a credible publication, on Friday. Mike McCarthy in Dallas is in trouble. There's no question about it. He'll probably make it through the year, but he's ripping players. Players off the record are ripping him. The Zim trade is more alive than ever. The Zim traded. Think about it. Their 100%. Defense is terrible. Jerry Jones loves Zim. Zimmer could actually, I don't know that he'd fix it completely, but he'd give you a fighting chance. He'd come in and he would restore order in that locker room initially, very quickly. Phil, your dream trade, I think right now is a topic that we can discuss now more than ever. It makes more sense than ever.
It does. It warrants further discussion at some point, but I can also envision Bill Parcells picking up the phone on behalf of Mike Zimmer as they're going through this discussion. And maybe he already did last year, picking up the phone and calling Jerry Jones and saying, listen, Jerry, this is the real deal. Mike Zimmer's got 5 years left in the tank. He's got nothing going on in his life except for the Instagram girlfriend who, probably just comes over once a week and they hang out, drink some red wine together. Who knows? I think it makes a ton of sense. And I think it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen until after the season.
Sure.
It makes perfect sense.
That's okay. It doesn't have to.
Yeah. And the Vikings can say, listen, like we all wanted this to work. Mike, we just got unlucky this season for all of those reasons, we have to move into a rebuilding phase and we don't want to hang you out to dry. Like you don't want to be riding this rebuilding thing. Let's send you somewhere where you can, you have a quicker path, a worse division, to rebuilding, and then we can get something back for you. You can go win a game and have some fun.
Dak comes back there.
100%. Yep. So, all right. That's worth further discussion at some point. More Vikings discussions on Purple Daily every single day. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for a Write That Down quarantine edition. We'll have to figure that out production-wise, but I'm sure we will. So we'll see you guys tomorrow.